Dr. Ofri, it's a joy to have you on Body Language again. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Oh, you're getting the program down. You are the author of the wonderful book, What Doctors Feel, How Emotions Affect the Practice of Medicine. You're going through an emotional time these days as you're preparing for your once-a-decade review of your boards. What am I talking about, and what's going on with you?
Well, you're talking about the process that's called recertification. So back in the day, you did your medical school, you did residency, you took a licensing exam that every medical student took, and then once you completed your residency training in your field, be it surgery, internal medicine, obstetrics, you would take a board exam to be board certified in that field. And this exam was administered by the specialty organization. For me, the American Board of Internal Medicine, or for someone else, the American Board of Surgery. You took it, you're board certified, and that's it. You put down your number two pencils and never look at a fill-in-the-blank test again.
Well, let's back up just a little bit. Why is it important to be board certified? What does that mean to your career and your employability?
Well, it should acknowledge that you have a high-level knowledge of your specialty, that if you are a surgeon, you have taken a very rigorous test in surgery, and the same for nephrology, infectious disease. So many institutions won't hire you if you're not board certified.
Aha, so there's money involved there.
Yeah, and many patients rightly would like to know that their internist has a good working knowledge of internal medicine.
Well, all that sounds very reasonable. So what's the problem, doctor? Why are you having difficulty preparing for this test, which seems, well, to me as a civilian, as a patient, a pretty mandatory thing?
Well, and so initially, as I was saying, you took the test once, you were board certified for life. But obviously medicine changes, and I think we all recognize that. So in 1990, they changed the requirement. You had to retake the test every 10 years. Now, of course, if you were lucky enough to have certified before then, you got grandfathered in. So older physicians did not have to take it. They could if they wanted, and some did. But everyone else, every 10 years, had to retake the test.
Now, this also is a great big business, isn't it? It's become an industry that drives a huge financial gain for the folks who do the testing and the certification.
Well, that's the flip side. So if you just take the test per se, I think most of us feel it's completely reasonable to have some reevaluation periodically because medicine does change. And the things I learned as a medical student, many of them are different or completely opposite. So most of us agree that a one-time acknowledgement doesn't guarantee that you keep up to date for life. The question, as you say, is a bit in the detail. So a few things have come up. One is that it's a very expensive process, thousands and thousands of dollars, and much time to prepare. I mean, for me, I'm spending a year preparing for the test, so enormous numbers of hours. Many people will take days off from work and take a course.
Well, as you said, doctor, in the New York Times article, some parts of this recertification process are useful. The practice...
Yeah, I think the knowledge base is definitely helpful. But there's also a second part to the... there's been a bit of mission creep in recertification. So in addition to the every 10-year test, you now have to do what's called maintenance of certification all along during the 10 years. Thing. Some are just online open book tests, and increasingly they've had things, practice improvement or performance improvement projects that all, I think, have very laudable goals, making your practice more efficient, more relevant, but a lot of them require doing polls of your patients, gathering all this data that in the end feels more like busy work, to be honest, and it's very labor-intensive.
Let's talk about the plus side and what you would like to see happen. Now, you've said that most doctors agree with having some sort of process that updates and refreshes medical knowledge. Absolutely.
Yeah, and as I'm sitting here reviewing, every day now a little bit, I'm remembering things and learning new things, and I feel better about my clinical skills, and I feel like this is a good process. I am learning new knowledge, reinforcing old knowledge. I think that that's fine. What most of us are opposed to, for me for sure, is then sitting for a six-hour memorized-type test, you know, multiple choice. That seems absurd. I mean, A, the material is enormous. I have 1,000 pages worth of material to read. To memorize that for a test, it's really quite hard, especially as we get older. But second, that's not the way we practice medicine today.
Aha, that's really the key, because you advocate an open book, self-paced test as the best way to keep knowledge current. The act of searching for answers, just as lawyers do, whether from journalists, textbooks, databases, or colleagues, is in itself the knowledge. In other words, knowing where to find stuff versus memorizing stuff you may not necessarily need. Am I on track there?
I agree. And I think when I look at where I'm being helped, I find that the diseases I treat every day, you know, I find that I know them quite well. And when I look at the test material, I already know it. But the diseases that we see less commonly but are still around, those are the ones where relearning the material is very helpful, because I haven't seen Rocky Mountain spotted fever too often. And so reminding myself what the rash looks like should someone come in, that's a value. But if I came across an unusual rash, I wouldn't rely on my memory. I would look it up. I would ask a colleague. I would consult a book. That's how we practice medicine. And so I think that's a reasonable thing to assess my knowledge of Rocky Mountain spotted fever, is how can I find the material.
So you're not arguing with the necessity of the recertification process. You're not saying that it isn't useful. You're simply suggesting that to rely on memory, especially, as you said, for rare illnesses or complicated patients, well, you know, that would almost be malpractice to rely totally on memory, because your memory may not be accurate.
Right, and I wouldn't, and none of us would do that. And I think partly medicine has fundamentally changed. 20 years ago, we didn't have easy access to databases and the internet and you know, up-to-date databases. So it was harder to find the information, and so relying on memory was part of being a good doctor. But it's now not, and I think it's better, because our memories are, we're human, they're faulty. We're often unduly influenced by what we've seen recently, and maybe our information isn't accurate. And you're right, I don't think it would be good medicine to rely on our individual memories.
Let me take the part of the patient here, because believe me, I am one. How does a patient know if a doctor, Dr. O'Free, is practicing competent, relevant, and meaningful medicine in terms of quality results and outcomes? Ultimately, that's the big question, beyond looking at the certification on the wall.
That's very hard to do. So one is, you can look up and see if your doctor is board certified, at the very least. And if it's a doctor, you know, who trained, who was certified on or after 1990, you know, you can see if they're keeping up with their every 10 years testing. It's a surrogate, but it certainly probably weeds out people who really don't have the ability to comprehend the material. You can also, and that's publicly available, you can also look up if your doctor has any claims against them. You can see where they trained. Again, and none of these are guarantees, so it is very hard. Many institutions now put out quality reports on doctors, and it's a concept that I have some mixed feelings about, because, again, what exactly do you measure? Do you measure how many patients have the blood pressure under control? Does that mean I'm very good? Or if it's very low, maybe I take very sick patients with very difficult to control blood pressure, so my numbers look worse. Those are very hard.
Dr. Danielle O'Free is the author of What Doctors Feel, How Emotions Affect the Practice of Medicine. How can our listeners find out more about you and your work, Dr. O'Free, which is spelled O-F-R-I?
I keep all of my articles and writings at my website, which is danielleofree.com.
Dr. O'Free, thank you so much for joining us again on Body Language on Radio MD.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful day.